Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is January 22nd, 2016. Of course, many of you will be listening to this as a podcast or perhaps on another network on a different day. But as I speak, it is Friday and it is the 22nd of January. But to start off the program today, I want to let everybody know that I'm very proud and pleased that my program, the Michael Cutler Hour, will also, or does actually, appear on Red State Talk Radio Monday evenings, 11 p.m. East Coast time. So Donna Fiducia and Don, her husband, both of them have been wonderful in working with me to make this possible. Donna Fiducia, by the way, if the name is familiar, had been one of the women on Fox News. She worked with Don Imus and Howard Stern and a whole bunch of folks over there. She's become a good friend, as has Don Ewan, her husband. So I'm very happy to be working with them to try to find more ways of getting the information out there that nobody else is willing to discuss. You know, if you look at the mainstream media, for the most part, they are missing in action, and it's not an accident. So this program, since its inception, and I've been doing this for years, has been all about providing the information that the mainstream media refuses to discuss because too many people are feeding at the trough. Too many people are making tons of money by undermining our country. It's all about cheap labor. It's all about tourists and foreign students, anything and everything, so that this small group of elitists can walk away with tons of money. And in the process, they're wreaking havoc on our nation. They are undermining national security. It undermines the middle class. It undermines our future. And more importantly, in my world, our children's future and their children's future. This is outrageous. This is about the theft of America, the theft of our future, the theft of the American dream. And what really takes chutzpah is that the politicians, who know they're lying through their teeth, and for most of these people, they've become so pathological, maybe they don't even know the difference between the truth and their BS lies any longer. But they've created this nightmare, and they will do nothing to stop it, and everything to continue to twist the truth. So right off the bat, I want everyone to stop talking about being too politically correct. And let's start talking about what this really is about, and it is Orwellian. This is newspeak. This is twisted use of language to mislead, confound, confuse, and swindle the American people. That's what's going on, and it's happening in other countries in the world, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But to begin with, I want to remind everybody about my websites. I hope you go visit them. My own personal website, Michael Cutler. .net, C-U-T-L-E-R, MichaelCutler.net. I also, for years, have been affiliated with Californians for Population Stabilization. It's a mouthful. It doesn't roll off the tongue easily, but the website does. It's CAPSWeb.org, C-A-P-S, CAPSWeb.org. And this isn't only about California. California started to experience a huge issue because of that shared border they have with Mexico, and they also have international airports. But folks, this is impacting every single state and most of the cities in each and every one of those states. We are getting hammered, and this is not about xenophobia. This is about common sense. We have a limited number of jobs, far too few jobs for all of the unemployed and underemployed Americans. But meanwhile, the political betrayers are seeking to bring in still more foreign workers, which will drive down the wages still further And with that goes the economy. It's starting to impact the economy of China. And all the talking heads are scurrying around on those TV programs, scratching their heads, and the dandruff is flying like the blizzard that we are expecting to be hammered with over this coming weekend, because they can't figure it out. You are bankrupting the consumers so they can't buy the garbage that's being manufactured in China, so the economy is coming unglued. Gee, I wonder how that works out. And then we hear this nonsense. Well, oil is so cheap that this is impacting the economy. And what's so funny about it is that when the economy was being bogged down a year or two or three or four ago, we were told it was because the oil was too expensive. So it was adding to pressure on consumers, because petroleum and energy are a major factor in everything that we do and everything that we buy. Gasoline, jet fuel for the airplanes. We use petroleum to make plastic and pharmaceuticals and fertilizer. Boy, talk about fertilizer. The stuff coming out of these idiots' mouths are the real fertilizer. So everything is involved with energy and petroleum, and when the energy prices go through the roof, the economy suffers. Well, the corollary should be true then. When the price of energy drops through the floorboards, we should all be rolling in dough. But that's not what we're being told. Again, so now the spin meisters are out there spinning their yarns of lies and deceit. And they're saying, well, you know, now that petroleum has gotten so cheap, the people who work in the petroleum industry are hurting, so that's why the economy is in trouble. Yes, this undoubtedly is hurting people in the petroleum industry, and so that may have a drag effect on the economy, but the petroleum industry isn't the entire, you know, business world. So understand, these are excuses for why everything is becoming unglued. This is the dog ate my homework syndrome, so that everybody ignores the truth. We are destroying the middle class of the United States. We're hurting foreign workers as well in the first world. This is about the looting of the first world to benefit the third world and their corrupt leaders orchestrated by the United Nations. You know, the UN is a big fan of comprehensive immigration reform. If you go to the websites and you go to the World Bank website, they're ecstatic because they're saying, you know, if we did this, by God, the remittances, the money flowing from America to the third world would increase. As it is, America accounts for nearly half of the money that goes from the first world to the third world. We're losing at least $200 billion a year. And when you look at the multiplier effect, that more than accounts for the annual increase in the U.S. national debt. And so you've got the U.N. on the sidelines saying, more, more, bring in more workers, send more money. This is like a blackout, and you see businesses being looted, rocks flying through the window, and people toting the big screen TVs out the door. And instead of talking about the businessman who's lost his livelihood, his way of supporting his family, the news report would be on the how wonders of how these folks that are looting are now, you know, able to enjoy the wonders of a big screen TV and a new computer that they stole. The third world is draining the money out of our country, aided and abetted by our own leaders, cheered on by the United Nations, and it's the average American who's getting hammered. And so with everything going on, and obviously my biggest concern, what this means for national security and public safety, this program is devoted almost entirely. There are exceptions. I do take little paths off into some other discussions. But for the most part, my focus has been on the issue of immigration, on the issue of our borders, on the issue of how this failure to secure our borders, enforce our immigration laws, restore integrity to that entire system is impacting America and Americans. And the news is not good. The news is not good. And so here we are today. And I also, by the way, write for The Social Contract in addition to capsweb.org. The Social Contract Winter Edition, it's a quarterly journal. The winter edition will be posted on the internet within the next couple of weeks. I have an article in that publication as well. And I'm very proud also to have become a columnist for a wonderful organization, the David Horowitz Freedom Center. and their publication, Front Page Magazine. So these are the principal vehicles by which I have been getting the written word out. I've also been doing a considerable number of programs on One American News Network and of late Newsmax TV. And in fact, Dennis Michael Lynch, who did a couple of documentaries on the border, I appear in two out of three of his documentaries, has a talk show that is emerging at Newsmax TV, and I will be appearing on a bunch of those programs, again, for the same purpose, to find ways of educating our fellow Americans so they understand the betrayal of all of us. Doesn't matter about being Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. We got to get away from these labels, folks. When they hear this nonsense, these political leaders, oh, this guy's not conservative enough, and this guy's not liberal enough, and listen, how about pro-American enough? How about pro-American enough? All Americans need to forget about all those other issues that tend to divide us, and I know that people are going to get angry with me when I say it, but you know, and I know there are very strong feelings on both sides of the abortion issue. There's big feelings on both sides of the gay rights issue. And I understand that, and unlike some folks, I can understand both sides of the argument, and both sides have compelling cases to make. But there's no more compelling a case than the need for survival, folks. All these other discussions and arguments will become exercises in futility and academia if we can't defend and protect our nation and our citizens. And that's what's on the line. That's exactly how serious this threat is. It's ISIS, it's Al-Qaeda, it's the drug cartels. It's right across the board. And, you know, I wrote an article for capsweb.org not long ago, and I talked about collateral damage, how Americans had become collateral damage. You know, our military spends a ton of money, and the weapons they use are ingenious. The smart bombs and the cruise missiles, they could actually target a specific window in a specific building that that missile goes into so that it minimizes collateral damage. The goal is to injure or kill non-combatants, or to never kill them if possible, but to minimize the dangers that they face and to solely focus on the enemy. You know, in the Second World War, we carpet bombed. We went after the Germans for what they were doing, carpet bomb. We had firestorms, literally hurricanes, basically created by the extremes of heat and flames because we would obliterate a neighborhood. Because there was no way of pinpointing how do we get to that one building. If you want to get to that one building, you got to blow up the whole community, basically. We are so careful and so respectful of human life overseas, that we've a ton of money so that those weapons that we deploy can target an individual, a car on the highway, a specific part of a building, not the entire building. What we do would have been science fiction just a couple of decades ago, the accuracy. It's amazing. It's almost like a surgeon wielding a scalpel to minimize civilian casualties, collateral damage. However, within our own borders, American lives don't seem to make a rat's tail worth of difference to the politicians. When illegal aliens run over kids, they run over people like Don Rosenberg's 25-year-old son who was in law school, and this bum who ran him over was here from Central America, ran him over three times in an effort to flee in San Francisco, Sanctuary City, San Francisco. They wouldn't even charge this guy with a crime. And it was only because of Don's incredible diligence and fortitude and stick-to-itiveness that they finally put this guy in jail for a couple of months for a motor vehicle offense. And then DHS, the Department of Homeland Surrender, said, well, it's only one crime. Only. Don't you love the word only? And they said this to a guy who lost his 25-year-old son. Only one crime. Only. You know, when he told me the story, I was in such a state of rage, I thought my head was going to explode. Well, finally, he got DHS to actually deport him, even though it was only one crime. Let me tell you how screwed up this is. I was with the INS for 30 years, the old Immigration and Naturalization Service. And if we walked into a factory And there was a guy working in that factory who came in on a tourist visa 3 weeks ago, and he had been given 6 months to stay here. The fact that he was working in the factory got him into handcuffs, got him before an immigration judge, and got his sorry rear end on an airplane, usually within a week. And now you have the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement going before the United States Senate and having the chutzpah to say that she has returned $113 million in money that was appropriated to ICE to deport illegal aliens. How in the world do you justify that? They turned back $113 million. She admitted that, according to her own belief, we don't have 11 million, but 15 million illegal aliens in the country. And I think we probably have three or four times as many as she now believes there are. And yet, basically, they couldn't find any aliens worth deporting. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Think of where we are as a country. You know, Steve King was beaten up over this by members of Congress of his own party for saying something that I had said during a hearing, when I said that we lose more victims to criminal aliens than we lost on 9/11. They said every year it's likely that that's the case. Well, he did some research and came up with a number of 7,000 people killed inside the United States each and every year by aliens who should not be here. Think about that. Think about that. 7,000 people, many of them Americans, many also members of ethnic immigrant communities. This nonsense that it's a lack of compassion that I suffer from because I think we should actually enforce our immigration laws rankles me beyond words. So Homeland surrender, turned back the money because there was no one worth deporting. Now, I want you to think back to 2013 when they had the sequestration of funding because of Congress, and Obama released tens of thousands of criminal aliens, the Chicago way. We'll get even with you. Remember what they did? They shut down access to the World War II memorial in Washington. You know, oh, we don't have the money, so we're going to keep everybody out, you know. We're going to get even with you, basically. They grounded the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds. Oh, we don't have the money, and we turned criminal aliens loose. Maybe if Mr. Obama took one fewer trip to Hawaii, we'd be able to have flown the Blue Angels. Maybe we wouldn't have had to release criminal aliens. Maybe we could have allowed those World War II veterans to go to the memorials. Maybe. See, the hypocrisy, the elitism, both political parties. And if you wonder why Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are scoring so big, it's because the American people look with anger, rage at people that were elected to represent them, and they're shafting the average American. This is insanity. Bums are supposed to work for us. If you treated your boss the way these people treat the average American, you wouldn't keep your job for 3 days. They are our employees, and it's time we started to treat them as our employees and maybe take a page from Donald Trump and tell them that they're fired. How dare they do what they're doing? It's costing us our children's lives, decent people dying. You want to talk about gun violence, and you know, I wrote a piece, and I want to get into an appearance I did on Newsmax with Bernie Kerik, the former New York City police commissioner. But before we do that, I also want to talk about Mr. Obama's appearance at the State of the Union address. And I had, tongue-in-cheek, said that he had a novel approach to the State of the Union, novel as in fiction. So he complains about the gun violence. We're going to get the guns off the street because of gun violence. You know, Mr. Obama, if you want to save American lives, and especially the lives of our children, especially American minority children, go after the gangs, go after the narcotics, go after the heroin and the cocaine and the meth. Go after the poverty, and you're going to continue to have poverty as long as children in their teens can't get a job, wind up sitting around with no leadership from anybody, no guidance from parents, no money to be able to do anything, and nothing for them to do, especially when they're not in school. So you know what happens? They hook up with some of the wrong people, and they need a couple of bucks so they can go to that movie or go out or buy a pair of sneakers or whatever it is they do, and one thing leads to another, and you have kids committing crimes because they're out there unsupervised with no hope for a future. And the Democrats have the unmitigated chutzpah to talk about wage equality. We want wage equality, so we favor 10-10 an hour minimum wage. Look, I agree with 10-10 an hour minimum wage. I actually agree with $15 an hour minimum wage. And I know there are conservatives that get very angry over it, and we've had these discussions when I speak at events around the country. But here's my view. Here's my view. First of all, I'm tired of the lie. Oh, those the jobs that pay minimum wage are for kids first starting out. Hey, folks, we know that's a lie, okay? I've been to enough Burger Kings and Wendy's and McDonald's and all the other fast food joints where middle-aged people are working behind the counter. And if you stop to talk to them, lots of these people had decent jobs, and they lost their jobs because they were displaced by foreign workers. And some of these folks may well have been computer programmers, professional people who are now flipping hamburgers. Boy, that degree is doing them such good, isn't it? Isn't it great they spent a boatload of money to get that MBA so they can flip burgers and ask if you want fries with that? That's the truth. And then Obama, during the State of the Union, says, well, we have to have some kind of an insurance program so that when people get back into the labor force and take jobs that pay lots less than what they were earning, do you know who he was talking about? Folks, he was talking about high-skilled workers. You see, Alan Greenspan, a guy who has a mansion out in the Hamptons, he doesn't know what to do with all of his money, and he's 90 years old. Can you imagine? This guy has so much money, he rolls in it. He probably wallpapers his house with it. This bum, this anti-American bum had the chutzpah to go before Chuck Schumer's Immigration Subcommittee in the Senate back on April 30th, 2009, referred to American workers with skills, and under our laws, that means people with college educations and often advanced degrees, STEM people, science, technology, engineering, math. We keep hearing about STEM. There's no shortage of STEM workers, folks. There's a shortage of honesty by people like Greenspan, who lies every time he opens his mouth. It just rolls off his tongue in that dead, monotonous voice of his. You know, I was so angry when I heard him testify the day after that hearing back in 2009. I was on a radio program, and the young lady whose show I was on said to me, what did you think of Greenspan when you heard what he had to say? I said, well, I was so damn angry, and then I realized that I was witnessing a first. And she said to me, you know, I'm going to regret this. What kind of a first do you think it was? I said it was the first time they let someone testify who was suffering from rigor mortis. Alan Greenspan referred to Americans with skills as the privileged elite earning a wage premium, his words, not mine, because they were being shielded from foreign competition, so they were being paid wages that were non-competitively high. And he said we could greatly reduce wage inequality between those Americans with skills and those with lesser skills if we would only stop shielding American workers from foreign workers. Then we could get rid of that wage premium and we could narrow the gap. What he was talking about was opening the floodgates to India and other third world countries to send us their computer programmers, so that we could destroy the wage structure of American high-tech workers. And that is why high-tech American workers have not only not been gaining any money, even the costs go up, but they're losing. The wages are dropping. The wage of the average American is in decline. Why? Because we are admitting more authorized foreign workers into the United States each and every month than the number of new jobs that we are creating. This is by design. And so when Obama talked about the need for insurance for those Americans who re-enter the labor force but take jobs at much lower wages, he was talking about the computer programmers. You know, we're going to give you a free two-year education in college, and that will get you a job in the fast food industry flipping burgers, that degree, because there are people in India who will work for $40,000 a year. Take a job that an American that used to make $100,000 a year was doing. And they don't do it nearly as well. They're not as smart as we are. They're not as dedicated as we are. But they are cheap. And so you had the breach, and I just got an email from somebody who had a top secret clearance, and because of the breach over at OPM, the Office of Professional Management, by the U.S. government, give me a break, all that data went out there because we allowed foreign programmers to have access to our government databases. This is where we are today. We are turning America into a third world country. People that are profiting are the ones that scream the loudest about this idea that, oh my God, if you talk out against immigration, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a bad guy, you're all sorts of things. You're a xenophobe. I testified before a Senate hearing a couple years ago. The late Arlen Specter was there. And the term he used was exophobe. I almost fell out of my chair. I thought, my God, the guy thinks I'm afraid of the letter X, apparently. Well, I'm certainly no xenophobe or exophobe. There isn't a letter in the alphabet that scares me, and I have no problem with anyone coming to our country from any country, provided that they don't pose a threat to our safety or well-being, and that's all that our immigration laws are about. They are the equivalent of the sensible person who, when someone knocks on the door, carefully looks through the peephole before admitting that stranger into his home or into her home to make certain that they don't pose a threat. And so now we are in a situation, look at Germany, where Merkel, I mean, unbelievable. I was watching Fox News today, outnumbered, and the women on the program were in a sense of were in a state of rage, and I don't blame them, because in Germany they're now actually posting signs for the benefit of all of their wonderful refugees that has a line like an X drawn across it. And it, I kid you not, they showed this picture, and you know, if this was a Saturday Night Live skit, it would be hard to believe. But it actually shows a guy with his hand on the backside of a girl in wearing a pair of shorts or a short skirt. It was hard to tell. But his hand is firmly on one of her buttocks. And with a line, an X drawn through it, saying basically, don't fondle women that you pass on the street. Really? Merkel was the woman herself who blamed German women for being raped and molested on New Year's Eve because they were wearing provocative clothing and they looked too pretty and so forth. We're going to blame the rape victim for being too pretty. Goodness gracious. What's next? Is she going to tell German women that they better start wearing the sort of clothing that the radical Islamists want them to wear, the beekeeper suit, as Bill Maher refers to it? I mean, this is nuts. You see, where citizens of our own countries are concerned, we're being told, too bad if the women are being raped, too bad if kids are being run over by people who shouldn't be driving. Collateral damage. It's the cost of doing business, just like 9/11. And then a report came out on the 19th of this month, just a couple days ago. It was a report by the DHS, entry-exit overstay report for fiscal year 2015. And what did it talk about? It talked about the fact that over 500,000 illegal aliens in the United States did not run our borders, but in 2015 entered the United States through ports of entry with visas or under the visa waiver program and then went missing. Can you imagine that? Over 500,000 in 1 year alone. And you know what's so amazing about this, folks? They keep saying the numbers of illegal aliens is going down. We continue to have aliens surging across the Mexican border. We admit more than 500,000 aliens who failed to depart the United States. But magically, the numbers are supposed to go down. You know, who are you going to believe? Your eyes or the lies of our government? And if you look at where some of these aliens are from, it gives me cause for pause. Countries like Yemen, countries like, let me see if we can pull up some. Indonesia, over 1,000 people illegally overstayed, gone missing in the country. Now, again, just because you're a citizen of that country doesn't mean that you're a radical Islamist. All I'm saying is we know there are problems in these countries with radical Islam. So, you know, Kenya, 562. Okay, Kenya's 562 overstays. Saudi Arabia was 1,500. 1,509. I mean, what in the world are we talking about here? And we can go on. We could talk about every single country where we know we have a problem with terror. Lebanon, Yemen, and no one's looking for them. Nobody is looking for aliens once they get past the border, whether it's the method of entry of choice for the terrorists, which, by the way, happens to be airports, or whether it's by running the border. In fact, here's an interesting quote. The 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel said that abuse of the immigration system and a lack of interior immigration enforcement were unwittingly working together to support terrorist activity. We have no interior enforcement, folks. And here the 9/11 Commission and the staff said, hey, it's a lack of interior enforcement. Once they come here, they're able to operate without fear of being apprehended. That was back in 2003 that report was written. I think it was released on 2004. If they thought it was bad then, we have no interior enforcement now. The Obama administration, you know, Mr. Obama stood before the Congress and talked about how politics should be clean and wonderful and holy and all this other crap. Everything he does is a political-based decision. They went out to make some arrests on Christmas Eve. And so I was asked by some radio talk show hosts to come on and talk about it. And they said, what do you make of it? And I said, look, this is being done to bolster Hillary. Oh, look at those evil immigration agents out there making arrests on Christmas Eve. Scrooge, you know. And how many were we talking about? Maybe they made 100 arrests. It was about the headline to create an impression. Oh, they're out there. No, they're not out there. You have a much easier chance of getting a winning lottery ticket than getting arrested by immigration if you're an illegal alien. And so the 9/11 Commission told us about that. And what I found was really delightful, and I had suggested this question to Neil Cavuto through his, and Maria Bartiromo, if you saw her, during the Republican debate a week ago, asked the question of Marco Rubio. She said, you wanted a 10 million increase in the number of immigrants coming into the United States over a 10-year period. Why would you want to bring in more foreign workers when so many millions of Americans are unemployed and underemployed? And it's a great question, and I was very happy she asked the question. And so he didn't answer the question. He sidestepped it. Well, that was then, and this is now, and we've got a problem with fraud, and we know the terrorists are coming in as students, and we've got terrorists coming in as doctors, and we've got terrorists coming in as fiancés, the K-1 visa, and we saw what happened in California with that. So it's a different world. But what Marco did not answer was, why did he want to bring in 10 million more foreign nationals, many of them workers, when we're having such a problem in the United States? And Ted Cruz immediately pounced on Marco and said, see that? One of the Gang of Eight. You were the one. And Marco shot back at Ted Cruz and said, yeah, but you wanted a 500% increase in the number of H-1B visas, and you wanted to double legal immigration. And the two of them were slugging it out. And I had to laugh. Because on immigration, these two guys are bad and worse, and I'm not sure which one is which. The idea that we're going to continue to flood the labor market with foreign workers when Americans can't find work is a prescription for a disaster. It's insanity. You don't bring sand to the beach. But they would. They would. You know, these characters, if they were in a boat that was leaking, would probably think that the best way to solve the problem of water leaking into the boat would be to drill more holes so that magically the water go out the additional holes. That's how stupid they are, or that corrupt. Could you imagine? Let's drill more holes in the bottom of the boat so that the water will go out. This has nothing to do with reality. This is pure fantasy, but that was the solution. You have a shortage of jobs, obviously you need to bring in more workers. Why? Because these foreign workers can't wait to start their own companies. Does anybody believe that? And they'll point to 5 or 6 or 8 companies where foreign entrepreneurs started the companies and say, see, you would have kept him out. No, I wouldn't have. But Ted Cruz wants to bring in 325,000 computer programmers and engineers, even as we've seen hundreds of thousands of American programs fired in the last year or two. This makes no sense, but this marches lockstep with Chuck Schumer and Alan Greenspan, the architect of the meltdown, the guy that came up with the subprime mortgages for the illegal aliens. This is all about money. This is all about cutting up this country and selling the pieces to the highest bidder, and they're walking off with the money. A long time ago, I wrote an article for capsweb.org, and I called it The Fencing of America. And I guess people immediately thought we were talking about the fence on the border, because that seems to be where everybody wants the conversation about immigration to go, although now finally people are getting it. Maybe it's more than that. You better believe it is. But in law enforcement, fence has a different meaning. In law enforcement, a fence is a person who sells stolen property. Alan Greenspan is a good example of a fence. Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and all of these bums are fences. They are carving up America, and they are selling it, and they're walking away with the money. Going on here, this is a betrayal on a galactic scale. And so now the question came to Dennis Michael Lynch on his program. It's called Unfiltered on Newsmax. And they reached out and said, hey, Mike, can you come in and join Bernie Kerik, the former New York City police commissioner? Because I'm looking at this. This is Dennis's producer telling me this, that Dennis was looking at that article and freaking out and saying, what does this mean for national security? And, you know, I wrote a major article for the summer edition of The Social Contract where I look back 14 years and look back at immigration and what the recommendations and findings of the 9/11 Commission were and what we have done and not done since then. So I said, sure, I'll go into the studio, and I was there, and we had the conversation. And Kerik and I are both of the belief that it's almost inevitable that we will suffer more terrorist attacks. And I'll go a step further using my expertise on immigration and tell you that I believe that any major attacks will have an immigration component. And the lies have got to stop. When Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, set off the car bomb in Times Square, this was 2010, Ray Kelly at the time was New York City police commissioner, he described Faisal Shahzad as a classic example of a homegrown terrorist. Another smoking lie, you know, talk about pants on fire. Faisal Shahzad came here as a 20-year-old from Pakistan on a student visa. When you come to America at the age of 20, how does that make you homegrown? He got a a visa to come here. Then he got a green card. We naturalized him just months before the attack. You would have thought they did some kind of an investigation to give him a green card, an additional investigation to give him citizenship. It wasn't as though he became a citizen 20 years ago when things change in people's lives. You know, lots can happen. It was less than a year after being naturalized that Faisal Shahzad attempted to kill lots of people at the crossroads of the world, Times Square. During sentencing, the federal judge said to him, we just gave you citizenship. You took an oath. And he said, yes, it was a false oath. I hate your country. I hate your freedom. Sharia gives me all the freedom I need. What kind of an investigation did they do? Worthless. Worthless. You see, we keep hearing about the vetting of the Syrian refugees, and they can't be vetted. And it doesn't matter that they're sitting over there for 2 years. They might as well be sitting there for 2 minutes. Nothing can be done to vet the Syrian refugees. That's not just my opinion. It's the opinion of a gentleman by the name of James Comey, who happens to be the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Michael Steinbeck, the assistant director of the FBI for counterterrorism, has said the same thing. There is no way to vet the Syrian refugees, period. They didn't qualify it. They didn't say however. They didn't say but. No. Cannot vet them, period. End of sentence. Move on. and we're going to bring them here. And what's so remarkable was that all the Republicans that ranted and raved and screamed and thumped the podium and thumped their chest and waved their fists in the air and yelled about the evil president signed off on the omnibus spending bill to give him the money to bring the refugees to the United States. And you know what I'm going to bet you? That the American people are dopey enough to reelect these people. They should be primaried into oblivion. How in the world do you stand before the cameras and thump the podium and rant and rave about actions being taken by the administration that are doing such damage to us and then turn around and vote to give the president the money he needs to do it? It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know, when we keep hearing about gridlock in Washington, you need to consider something that Jeff Sessions said when we both were in a panel discussion in Florida a year ago with the David Horowitz Freedom Center a year ago this past November. Gridlock is not necessarily a bad thing, you see. I mean, think about it. When you lock your door, you impede the ability of a burglar to enter your house. You're creating gridlock for a burglar. Isn't that what you want to do? When politicians are trying to steal your country and your future out from under you, don't you want someone to impede their progress? The members of Congress who would not vote for comprehensive reform were voting on behalf of America and Americans. I gave comprehensive immigration reform a new title. I wrote a commentary. In fact, Senator Sessions liked it so much, he quoted me from the floor of the Senate on three separate occasions nearly 10 years ago, back in 2007. I called it the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. And he said to his fellow members, do not vote for it. So tell me, was Senator Sessions being heroic in looking out for our safety and well-being, or was he responsible for gridlock? You tell me. Gridlock is not a bad thing. The Founding Fathers made the legislative process arduous to protect America from corrupt politicians. Forgive the redundancy. The Founding Fathers understood how corrupt politicians could be. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Obama comes along, and what did he say? Well, Congress failed to act. No, they acted. They said, no, you don't. No, you don't. They locked the door and said, no, you don't. And he did an end run around the Congress, and then he did it with the Dreamers. And we always hear about the compassion, the poor young people. And, you know, I just did a presentation in New Jersey, and I asked people in the audience, how old could you be and still be a dreamer? And some of the people still think it's somebody in their early 20s. The age cutoff is 31. You see, the administration lies and lies and lies, and so do the politicians on the other side of the aisle. Do you wonder why the American people don't want to elect another damn politician? Do you wonder why Donald Trump is soaring through the stratosphere right now? Because the American people are stupid, but they're not that stupid. Abe Lincoln said you could fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And it's gotten so bad and so outrageous that the truth is unavoidable. Both political parties, I call them the Republicans, or the Republicrats, forgive me, the Republicrats, are on the same sheet of music. They play fight. Their fights that they have, for the most part, are no different than the wrestlers that go out there when I was a kid and they'd bloodied each other, except it really wasn't blood, it was ketchup or tomato sauce or God knows what the hell it was, but it sure as hell wasn't real blood. It's make-believe fighting, it was entertainment, but there's nothing entertaining about this. This is a swindle, folks. This is a swindle. We have kids coming out of college with the education they need to be successful. They're all dressed up and have nowhere to go because of the politicians in Washington, because of politicians in city halls and state capitals across the country. Sanctuary cities, guilty of harboring, shielding, aiding, abetting, encouraging, inducing aliens to enter the country illegally and remain here thereafter illegally. If you or I did it, we'd be in jail, and rightfully so. It's a violation of Title 8, United States Code, Section 1324. But when a mayor does it, he probably gets invited to lunch at the White House, because that's exactly where the president's head is at. That's what Mr. Obama wants. And you know what? That's what most of the Republicans want. You wonder why there's a movement against the career politicians? Because everyone knows that most career politicians, with a couple of exceptions, people like Jeff Sessions, people like Chuck Grassley, people like my good friend Lou Barletta, people like Steve King, aren't cut from that same crappy piece of cloth. These are real leaders who really stand for their people. But for the most part, these politicians in Washington, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for them. They should be run out of town on the rail. The lunacy is that the mainstream media is aiding and abetting them. The lunacy is that we allow this as Americans to happen. So many Americans have been sitting on their rear ends, more concerned with who's winning Dancing with the Stars than what is becoming of their country and what is becoming of the future of their children. And, you know, we've become so timid when someone says, oh, you're being a xenophobe. Most people fold up and say, oh, I'm so sorry, you misunderstood me, I didn't mean to offend you. Folks, offend them. Offend them, get in the guy's face. We're Americans. That's a how dare you moment. That's a how dare you moment. There's nothing racist about our immigration laws. But I'll tell you what's racist, the argument about the Latino vote. Because what that says, and all those pollsters who concoct that BS line, that everybody whose last name is Rodriguez thinks the same way. You know, all those Latinos, they're all the same. It's the most disgusting form of profiling I've ever heard. And we hear it about other groups, too. The Jewish vote, the black vote, the evangelical vote. You know, we're going to lump everybody together in a little cubbyhole, and when you've seen one, you've seen them all. And if a cop would say that, they'd open an investigation into violation of civil rights. Imagine if a cop said, oh, I arrested that guy because he belongs to such and such ethnic group, and we know how those people operate. What kind of a firestorm would that ignite? But yet, turn on the Sunday talk shows and listen to talks about the Latino vote, the Jewish, the black vote. Really? You see, we have been drinking the Kool-Aid that is being peddled, and no one seems to get the point that they need to stand up and say, what the hell are you talking about? The immigration laws were designed to protect the lives and jobs of Americans, period. It's not about blacks, it's not about whites, it's not about Latinos, it's about keeping out aliens who pose a threat to our safety or well-being, period. And America's minorities are suffering the worst because of these failures, by the way. And by the way, the criminals don't only come from Latin America. We have problems with Asian organized crime. We have problems with the Jamaican drug posses. We have problems with the Israeli mob and the Russian mob and the Italian mob. We can go right down the list. Look, people are people are people. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they come in every religion and every race and every ethnicity. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I got to see it firsthand for 30 years. Because for 30 years, I was out there enforcing the law, and I spent years where I didn't interview or arrest a single Spanish-speaking alien. You see, this is the mythology that's being foisted on us. And I want you to think about something. I want you to think about this. Couple of points. We're told the immigration system is broken, right? How many times have we heard that? The immigration system is broken and we need to fix it. So the system is so broken that terrorists were able to enter our country multiple times and carry out attacks or try to carry out attacks in the United States. That's pretty broken. And these very same politicians then say, so what we need to do is give all the people who are here illegally lawful status with a broken system. First, we'll secure the Mexican border. Well, the terrorists didn't come through the Mexican border. And then once that's done, then we can go ahead. Really? With a staff of examiners, adjudications officers, that staff is so small and so beleaguered, there would be no capacity to do a face-to-face interview, let alone a field investigation, and we're talking about aliens who may have snuck into the country in the dead of night, so we can't even be certain about their nationality, let alone their true name. So the system is broken, so we're going to use the broken system to process 30 million illegal aliens. Does that make sense to anybody out there? But they keep repeating the mantra, we can't deport them all, so what are we going to do with them? We may as well give them lawful status. We can't stop all the speeders out there, so should we get rid of the speed laws? We certainly have more people texting and driving than there are illegal aliens in the United States. Should we throw up our hands and say, well, I guess we can't keep people from texting and driving? Of course not. You deter unwanted conduct by enforcement, not by capitulation. The only place where the solution is to capitulate is immigration, not because the job is impossible, but it's because it coincides with what the people bribing the politician with those campaign contributions want. Don't you see what's going on? The lies just keep on coming, and we keep losing more kids to drugs and to crime, and there will be more attacks, unfortunately. There will be. And then what? The politicians will run around and scream about nobody connecting the dots, or they'll lie and say, well, the guy was homegrown because he was a naturalized citizen. Understand what's happening. American citizens are being displaced within their own country. Hillary Clinton said that it's not right to use the word illegal to describe these immigrants who are undocumented. She said it makes them second-class citizens. Well, they're not citizens, damn it. You want to know who second-class citizens are? Americans in their own damn country. That's who's being turned into second-class citizens. And along the way, we are undermining national security. Along the way, the Department of Homeland Surrender sees fit to return $113 million. If you really want to go after the issue, you enforce the immigration law. You convince people from around the world that if they come here and violate our immigration laws, that there are people who will find them and arrest them and seek their deportation. And maybe a prosecution along the way before we put them on the airplane. Then you will see the numbers shrink. But as I said when I testified at a hearing at the behest of Chuck Grassley back in 2013, I went before the Senate Judiciary Committee, I said that the words and actions of this administration and statements by other politicians, in essence, have fired the starter's pistol for aspiring illegal aliens from around the world, and for them the finish line is the border of the United States. When politicians can say that because we can't deport everybody, then basically we shouldn't be deporting anybody, that's capitulation, that's surrender. And what that would do would be to put tens of millions of new authorized workers into a labor pool that can't find work now. And what they're not telling you is that they would immediately, these tens of millions, would immediately be entitled to bring in their minor children and their spouses. So if, let's say, we have 25 or 30 million who would come out of the shadows, let's be very conservative. Believe me, it's not 15 million. But even if it was 15 million, half these people have children and spouses. 15 million could easily become 50 million. 30 million? God knows. 100 million? We could contribute maybe a third more to our population literally overnight. How do you plan to pay to educate all those kids, provide health care for all those families, and find work for all those workers? Even as increasing numbers of news articles, by the way, are pointing out that every year millions of jobs are being lost to robots and automation. If you want to see something amazing, go on the science program, the science channel, and watch How It's Made. And there was a segment recently, How It's Made Dream Cars. And you see robots building cars. There's, you know, eight people, and the rest of the factory is run by robots. One robot hands the door off to another robot who puts the window mechanism in, and this robot then hands it off, and they attach the door to the body of the car. The engines are built almost entirely by robots. Unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. Robots doing the spray painting, robots doing everything, and along the way you see the occasional human because there's one particular job that's difficult. Give the process 2 or 3 more years. Even those workers will go out the door. We have lesser and lesser need for human intervention in so many of the manufacturing processes. Is this the time to bring in more foreign workers? We don't hear about job fair anymore. All we hear about is the need to bring in the world's best and brightest. And if you, like me, believe in American exceptionalism, there's a name for the world's best and brightest. We call them Americans. And it's not about a race or a religion or an ethnicity. We're Americans. Black, white, Jewish, Christian, doesn't matter. We're Americans, the world's best and brightest. And we are being sliced and diced by the very same people who draw a paycheck purportedly representing us. With friends like that, we don't need enemies, folks. We don't need enemies. But, you know, my dad used to tell me that I would teach people how they should train me, how they should treat me, by demonstrating what I was willing to accept. We have convinced the politicians that we will accept anything that they dish out. Shame on us. This is our fault. We got ourselves into this mess by ignoring the politicians, by not taking our responsibilities seriously. These politicians work for us. And when Barbara Boxer got all upset because a military officer called her ma'am, and she went wild and said, "I'm a senator. I work long and hard, blah, 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 blah." That senator, that member of the military should have said to that senator, "What's the matter, Barbara," or Babs, or whatever name he wanted to, as long as it resembled her first name. Because you know something? Calling her ma'am was as respectful as you could be. It's the equivalent of sir. The way you would have addressed a general would be to say, "Sir, call me senator. Self-important. Do you know who I am?" I always used to love that when I was at the airport as an inspector at the beginning of my career, and some yo-yo would come into my booth, some little minor functionary from some hick town with 3 or 4 make-believe badges in their wallet. "Do you know who I am? I don't want to wait online." If you had to walk into my booth and tell me, "Do you know who I am?" or ask me that question, I knew who you were. You were a jerk. Do you know who I am? We have pompous fools running our country, and they need to be sent packing. That's what elections are for. That's what elections are for, to get rid of the trash. It's time that we stood up, and it's time that we stop dividing ourselves by party lines, because those parties don't make a whit of difference. It's like competing drug cartels. They're trying to control turf, and they don't give a damn who gets hurt in the process. We need leaders who make America and Americans their priority. I want to thank all of you for spending the last hour with me. I hope that the information that I've provided you today is helpful. Please tell your friends about my program, both here on Blog Talk Radio, also on Red State Talk Radio, Monday at 11 o'clock p.m. East Coast time. Please go to the websites, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract. MichaelCutler.net will get you to see everything that it is I've been doing of late, hopefully stirring the pot. But please get involved, folks, because you need to remember that democracy is not a spectator sport. I look forward to seeing you same time right here on the Michael Cutler Hour next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. So long.